हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां देवाय तस्मै नमः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। लास्ट क्लास वी सॉ हाउ टू सी होल कॉस्मोस एज भगवान Vishwarupam. The beautiful words we saw last class. Mayeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva atavurdhum nasamshayaha. The most difficult thing is placing the mind in Bhagavan. Placing the mind in Bhagavan, focusing on Bhagavan is the most difficult thing. But mayeva mana adhatsva. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. Buddhi and mind should be placed in Bhagavan. What does it mean by saying placing the buddhi in Bhagavan, placing the mind in Bhagavan? We saw last class. So, having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, when you live your life, in conformity with dharma, doing everything with proper attitude, the living life karma yoga really fills your life with Bhagavan. So now Bhagavan says in this following verse, he says, in the ninth verse which we are supposed to see today, Atha chittam samadhatam nashaknoshi mayisthiram अभ्यास योगेन ततो मामिच्छाप्तम् मामिच्छाप्तम् धनंजय अथ चित्तम् समाधातुम् न शक्नोषि मयि स्थिरम् अभ्यास योगेन ततो मामिच्छाप्तम् धनंजय. सो प्लेसिंग द माइंड इन भगवान, placing on Bhagavan, is it is very difficult. Therefore, now Bhagavan gives another clue here, which means if it is not possible for us to see Bhagavan as the whole. Now, how can I relate to Bhagavan in the form of the whole cosmos? How can I place my mind by Bhagavan in my mind in Bhagavan? Then Bhagavan gives another clue here. Chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi sthiram. Arjuna, he says, hey Dhananjaya, O Arjuna, atha, if again, na shaknoshi, if you are not able to what? Samadhatum, if you are not able to focus attention, you're not able to place your attention, you're not able to fix your mind in what chittam. Chittam, even though literally it means memory, here we take it as mind. So, chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi mayi, Arjuna, if you're not able to place your attention in me, fix your mind firmly on me, sthiram. Sthiram means what? Firmly, without any diversion, without any distraction, without any deviation. Firmly, if you are not able to fix your mind on me, not able to place attention in me, and Bhagavan says, Tataha, then, Abhyasa Yogena, no, Abhyasa Yoga is nothing but yoga, nothing but a discipline of repeatedly doing something. Can you believe our culture teaches this? Repeatedly trying to do something is also what? Becomes a discipline. Abhyasa yoga means, if you do one day, you light the lamp. Every day, make it a point to light the lamp. Becomes what? Abhyasa. Practice. So, abhyasa yoga means repeatedly doing something becomes a discipline. So, he's abhyasa yogena means, yogena means, By way of repeated practice, constant practice, continuous, constant, repeated practice, அபியாச யோகேன அர்ஜுனா மாம் ஆப்தும் இச்ச மே யூ டிசையர் டு இச்ச மீன்ஸ் மே யூ டிசையர் டு ரீச் மீ அட்டைன் மீ இஸ் தி ட்ரூ மீனிங் ஆஃப் தி வர்ஸ் அத சித்தம் மயி சித்தம் சமாதாத்தும் ஸ்திரம் சமாதாத்தும் ந சக்னோஷி அத சித்தம் மயி ஸ்திரம் சமாதாத்தும் ந சக்னோஷி இஃப் யூ ஆர் நாட் ஏபிள் டு ஃபிக்ஸ் மை மைண்ட் ஆன் மை ஃபிக்ஸ் யோர் மைண்ட் ஆன் மீ யூ ஆர் நாட் ஏபிள் டு பிளேஸ் அட்டென்ஷன் டோட்டலி இன் மீ அர்ஜுனா டோன்ட் நீட் டு வரி அபியாச யோகேன by way of, by means, by method of constant, continuous, repeated practice, maam aaptum iccha, may you desire to attain me, may you desire to reach me, may you seek to reach me, attain me. So, what it means is, atha, then, If you think it is not possible at all to place a mind in Bhagavan, fix a mind upon one Bhagavan, and Bhagavan, that is, which Bhagavan? Bhagavan who is in the form of the whole cosmos. Because placing the mind in Bhagavan means trying to see Bhagavan as the whole cosmos is visualization. It is meditation. Vishwarupa Bhagavat Dhyanam. விஸ்வரூப பகவத் தியானம் மீன்ஸ் சீயிங் ரிப்பீட்டட்லி ஃபோக்கசிங் அட்டென்ஷன் ஆன் சீயிங் பகவான் பீங் தி ஹோல் ஓகே பட் பகவான் இட் இஸ் இஃப் இட் இஸ் நாட் பாசிபிள் ஃபார் யூ டு சீ வித் ஃபர்ம்னஸ் ஸ்திரம் கான்ஸ்டன்ட்லி கன்சிஸ்டன்ட்லி யூ ஆர் நாட் ஏபிள் டு சீ is Bhagavan me in the form of the whole cosmos and able to visualize. Then it is not, there's another method. It is, you can begin to worship me in one given form. If Vishwar Arupam is not possible, start with Vishwarupam. Vishwarupam also is not possible, come on, now start with Ekarupam. You begin your worship, begin your prayer, try to place your mind, fix your mind on me by worshipping me in one given form. Eka Rupam. So, Eka Rupa Bhagavad Dhyanam. Eka Rupa Bhagavad Dhyanam is what? Worshipping Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan, invoking the grace of Bhagavan, are dwelling upon Bhagavan in one given form. In fact, praying, worshipping, or singing the, in place of the God is all meant for us to have the, place the mind in Bhagavan, to fix the mind on Bhagavan. Only thing, we must be focused. Even in pujas, we are so distracted. The mind is so disturbed and distracted. Imagine what is the mental condition for us. How to remain focused in your, even when you are doing puja, if you are able to be focused. I tell you, there's nothing greater than this. This is so great. It's a really great thing if you are able to be focused in even in your puja. We are physically doing something, but we are so mechanical, so distracted and so disturbed. So Krishna, now that we must make an effort, then you must use your will definitely to do that. So Bhagavan gives an option now. Come on, Vishwarupam is too difficult for you. Okay, to visualize Bhagavan as the whole is not possible. Then really you have to make another effort is what? Take Ekarupa Bhagavad Dhyanam. Worship Bhagavan in a given form. Have Bhagavan as a personal form. Personal God. Ishta Devata. So may you can have any given particular murti of Bhagavan, which is Ishta Devata. So that is how in our culture Ishta Devata Aradhanam has come. In Vedic tradition, Ishta Devata Aradhanam is very important, one of the important cultural forms. And you can have your own Ishta Devata. And every day you worship, same Bhagavan whom you worship, other person also is worshipping. But in different forms, to your taste. Amazing culture is a cultural freedom, that is. Religious freedom you have. Just you are 100% allowed to invoke Bhagavan in any given form which you like. But as long as you see that form as Bhagavan, seeing it as Bhagavan is in your mind. If you are not able to see something as Bhagavan, there's a problem. So you have something of your own, but understand, ultimately Shastram teaches me all the T-series is only Bhagavan. But I am invoking that only Bhagavan, who alone is there in the form of everything, in this given form. And this is my Ishta Devata, my Ishta Murti. You can have your own specific form of your desire, which you, suitable for you, which helps you to be focused. Anyway, that is the reason we had Ramayana Mahabharata stories came mainly to show the glorifications of that forms. How glorious Rama was. Because such glories of Bhagavan will help you love that form. I love Rama. Rama became the hero of everybody, every mind. Oh, I love Rama for what he stood for. That is how reverence comes. That is how we take Rama as our Ishta Devata. I hear about stories of Krishna, all about glories. Then I develop a love for that person, love for that. See, the more and more you listen to the good things about a person, you like the person. Without your knowledge, you develop some sort of love, liking for that person. In the same way, stories of Rama and Krishna, this is why Bhagavata Katha Shravanam was made important in those days. Even though all the 36 Puranas did not become popular, at least Krishna's story became very popular. Krishna is well known today worldwide. Why? Because Krishna's always Krishna's miracles, Krishna's glories, Krishna's everything. He was a hero. People loved Krishna. People loved Rama. And then that becomes the Ishta Devata Murti. So to relate to that Bhagavan. This is the cultural. I also wanted to remind you why we have in our culture these stories revealing the glories of Bhagavan. That is how, especially as a child, when you start listening to such stories, without your knowledge, you develop love for such murtis. That is why from childhood, we tell stories of Bhagavan to Krishna children. They had to pick up somewhere. Anyway, what I want to say, Bhagavan's Krishna says here, that is a side note of what I was wanted to tell you here. So he says, always you can take an Ishta Devata of your liking, and you have the freedom, you can worship Bhagavan, you can invoke Bhagavan in that form. But try to be focused. That is the big problem. It can be, suppose many people like Ganapati, many people like Subramanya, many people like Devi, many people like Krishna, Rama. So whichever murti you like, you can take and you can worship that Bhagavan. So, Bhagavan says, so mayi adatsva means my mam aptam icha. Follow that, take one form and try to seek me. That is the lesson here in this verse. Now, in the following verse, Krishna says, अभ्यासेप्य समर्थोसि मत्कर्म परमो भव मदर्थमपि कर्माणि कुर्वन् सिद्धिमवाप्स्यसि. ब्यूटिफुल. अभ्यासेप्य समर्थोसि मत्कर्म परमो भव मदर्थमपि कर्माणि कुर्वन् सिद्धिमवाप्स्यसि. Abhyase api asamartha asi Arjuna. If you think, oh my God, even this constant practice, consistent practice also is not possible for me. Even invoking Bhagavan in one given form and even constantly practicing that constant practice of invoking the grace of Bhagavan in any given form. See, now you can understand why every Hindu family compels having this puja room and worshipping everyday Bhagavan. Basic thing. Everyday day should begin with the Bhagavan. Morning, have a puja room, light the lamp, pray to Bhagavan, then you begin your day. This is a simple basic thing for the later on. It is like, you know, taking the child to kindergarten class. First, one day, you imagine, my child is going to get postdoctoral fellowship one day after 24 years or 20 years. But now today, I'm taking her or him to this basic, the kindergarten school next to the child. Nearby primary school, you take them for admission. It's exactly like every house has a puja room. Why? Because we are taught to worship and pray. That is how we are slowly focused. Of course, we're very distracted, very disturbed, mechanical. So the provision is given here at the start. So, but Bhagavan says here, even you cannot focus, even the puja when you're doing, chanting you're doing, even the recitation you are doing, even the one murti keeping in front of that one murti in front of you offer flowers, you are not able to focus. See how much are you able to place your attention, fix your mind in how long? How much are you able to fix your mind in any given Vishwarupam or Ekarupam or in at least the mantra you're chanting, japa you're doing, are you able to focus? Mind is more important. If mind, you're not able to fix your mind on that, then distract, still it is not, you are not relating yourself to Bhagavan. There is not an association with Bhagavan. Therefore, that's more important. That is why it was said, okay, every day make it a point. Every day start mechanically at least. Abhyasa yogena. Invoke Bhagavan in any given form. Every day make it a point. Start there if other steps are not possible. The thing is, we are not very focused. We are very distracted. At the same time, we try to understand subtle facts also. When we understand subtle facts, somehow, unfortunately, we lose interest in this practice also. It has become a very big danger. It's a dangerous thing. You know, because of our capacity to understand subtle facts, somehow our mind loses interest in this, in valuing this worship and prayer. We are neither here nor there. Very, very distracted. So definitely have the understanding one side, but definitely also do this. That is why spiritual pursuit must be backed with religious discipline of worshipping and praying. So Ekrupa Bhaktihi Bhagavan recommended, Abhyase Api Asamartaha. If you are incapable of focusing attention, fixing your attention in Bhagavan, even in Ekarupa Bhaktihi, you are not find difficult to even to practice, have such a practice of worshipping, invoking Bhagavan with a focused attention, even in given form. Bhagavan gives another clue here. My God, how he can make it simple. He makes it simpler and simpler and simpler to invoke Bhagavan's grace. Abhyase api asamartaha, Arjuna, abhyase api asamartaha, see, if you are incapable, asamartaha, samartaha capable, incapable asamartaha, if you do not have the capacity to even practice consistently, constantly, abhyase api asamartaha, see, Arjuna, then he says, Matkarma Paramaha Bhava. The next option Bhagavan gives. Oh, I'm not able to place my attention even in Ekarupam. I'm not able to do anything consistently, constantly. I'm so distracted still. Abhyasayapi Asamartaha. Even if you're incapable of practicing consistently. See, Abhyasa itself is a discipline. Every day trying to do repeatedly, thereby making it a discipline. When that is not possible for you, then matkarma paramaha bhava. Matkarma Paramaha Bhava means, he says, may you become the one who performs all activities ultimately for attaining Bhagavan. It's called Matkarma Paramaha. Matkarma Paramaha means having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, having reaching Bhagavan, discovering Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, and in order to prepare one's mind, convert the unsteady mind to steady, and you perform all your duties, all your activities, your mundane and religious activities, you perform all of them, having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal. I mean, in order to reach Bhagavan, attain Bhagavan in terms of knowledge, to prepare your mind for that knowledge, I am doing everything what I am doing. This is what Krishna says, Matkarma Paramaha Bhava. Actually, he implies here, indicates the Karma Yoga. Matkarma Paramaha Bhava. So what, even you are brushing your teeth, you are drinking water, or you are, even you are going to the toilet, any karma you do, remember, get up in the morning, remember, I am living this life ultimately to discover Bhagavan. Ultimately, Bhagavan has to become revealed to me. Bhagavan obtaining as the truth should become revealed to me. If Bhagavan is always there in my mind as the very truth, he is not away from me at all. The only question of not being revealed. It's only a question of having it revealed. You need not attain Bhagavan. Always there, already there. If the Bhagavan Swarupam has become revealed to me, it's all, the mind must be available for Bhagavan to be revealed. Therefore, your mind is distracted and disturbed mind. You are not able to even have the discipline of practicing regularly. At least whatever you can do, whatever you are supposed to do, all your duties and everything, convert all your duties into yoga. How? Whatever you do, you think that you are doing that action ultimately to prepare your mind for discovering Bhagavan. Then what happens? Everything else, all that you do become offered to Bhagavan. Matkarma Paramaha Bhava. Arjuna, may you become the one who performs all one's activities ultimately for the sake of discovering Bhagavan, attaining Bhagavan. Then, Madartham Api Karmani Kurvan. Bhagavan emphasizes the same thing, second sentence. Madartham Api Karmani Kurvan. Of course, you do your karma for your own sake, for you are cooking, for your eating, you're eating or appeasing your hunger, you're drinking water to quench your thirst, you are doing things to earn money for your livelihood, you are doing ultimately for your taking care of your day-to-day needs. Your needs drive you to do things. So whatever actions you are doing for your sake, in the sense for the sake of living this life, then offer those actions, convert them, those actions as to they performed for discovering Bhagavan also. So, Madartham Api, not only Twadartham Arjuna, Madartham Api, for performing all your duties, having me as the ultimate goal, when you perform Kurvan Siddhim Avapsesi, Bhagavan, what a promise he makes, Siddhim Avapsesi. Madartham api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. You will definitely be successful. Siddhim avapsesi. You will attain success. You will gain success if you really perform all your activities, all your mundane religious activities, your duties, as an offering to me, having me as the ultimate goal. Even though you are doing it for yourself, still, for my sake also, they become performed. If you think that I'm ultimately, what I need to discover in this life is Bhagavan obtaining as my own Swarupam. Then, Madartham api karmani kurvan. Siddhim avapsisi, you will gain success. You will attain success. Success what? What success it is? The success, what is absolute success? Bhagavan says, moksha. There's no greater success than discovering freedom. So you will discover moksha, the freedom which is already there is your own surupam, which in the wake of the vision of which you will see yourself being free from absolutely from all limitations which contribute for your miserable life, which convert your life into a terrible life. So Bhagavan, discovering Bhagavan ultimately as a surupam, which is discovery of freedom and which is the ultimate goal, which is the absolute success. Arjuna, siddhim avapsisi, you will accomplish the absolute success in terms of discovery of moksha. How? Repeatedly, even just by doing all your activities, having me as the goal, offering those activities to me. Which means you do not lose sight of your goal being Bhagavan. You do something else. You may be walking, you may be drinking, you may be sleeping, you may be doing other things. Doesn't matter which karma you are doing, but you do not lose sight of your goal being Bhagavan. Then with that commitment, may all this I am doing contribute ultimately for me to have the vision of Bhagavan. With that prayer you are doing, the attitude you are doing, then Bhagavan says, definitely, madartham api karmani kurvan, doing all your actions for my sake, Arjuna, siddhim avapsisi. And second thing here also, when you are doing all your activities for my sake also, means what? Then you do not think only of your welfare. You think of the welfare of all other people, all other beings in the world who are also none other than Bhagavan. So service to Bhagavan, world is service to Bhagavan. So all your activities must be in such that you contribute for the wellness of the society also. Of course, you do things for your wellness, absolute wellness, in terms of discovering the truth, in terms of discovering freedom. At the same time, your activities you do, see that they also are contributive for the social wellness. At least a certain degree of reaching out must be there. Even if you work for an office, if you do, because that is how you contribute for your time is, that is why in India, service means even if you are paid also, if you're working for a company, we call it service. It's not a social service, means now that it must be a free service. If you go to the office and work the whole month, you're working, every month you're getting salary. Or whether it's whatever professional you are, whether you're a medical professional or engineering professional or an IT professional, any professional you are, when you go to the office in the morning and sit until evening as doing means, in India, this is called service. People always say, I retired from service. Means what? There's no such thing called service separately apart other than what you're doing. What you're doing for livelihood, for your earning, is still a service. Your attitude is proper. If you do it 100%, you're ethical, your focus, your attention is focused on your work, what you're doing. You're not doing just for the sake of earning money alone. You are doing because there is a duty that your contribution is there in a big organization. Your participation, your contribution is very much there. That contribution is also about social wellness only. You don't need to take separate service. But still, you are paid for that. The money comes back not because of your service, money you are destined to get. That karma you do, your profession you do is only nimittam, instrumental for what you are supposed to get. Some people slog a lot, they don't get anything. Some people don't do anything at all, still they get. That is a different thing. But actually, service means even your profession becomes a service if your attitude is proper. I am doing this to earn my livelihood, ultimately to discover Bhagavan. With that attitude, when you do, being part of any big organization setup, when you are doing what you are doing, you are contributing for the wellness of the welfare of the society. The Shadnit, be focused in your duty. Do it as perfectly as possible. Try to be attentive. Then don't forget, then you don't need to worry about what, how much money is going to come. What you're destined to get, you will get. That what comes, whatever comes to your account is actually what you have already earned in the form of punyam in your previous janma. Your previous janma punyam alone comes in the form of your present income for which the work you are doing, your present profession becomes nimittam. Some people say, oh, I'm jobless, I don't have any income. For the sake of income, they want to search for jobs. Really speaking, always try to do something for contributing, for my physical health, for my mental health, and for the wellness of society. I try to involve myself in some form of contributive work that becomes service. You know, then the income you get is because you're destined to get, you get it. That's all. So you don't need to do separately something out. You don't need to go out of that way to do something. Sir, how much are you able to share what you earned also? That is also another form of service. That your focus must be very clear. That is what is important here. So it is said, Madartham api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi. Once you do whatever result comes also, you do your work with focus attention and listen, because you are doing it ultimately to prepare your mind for Bhagavan, for discovering Bhagavan, for the vision to become clear. At the same time, and what you do, you are not at all seeing what is going to be the result of this karma. Definitely there is a result. Of course you need money. You need everything. Whatever is the result? Bhagavan's prasada. It is this attitude with which you do your karma. Whatever comes is prasada. Whatever I'm doing is an offering to Bhagavan. Whatever I'm doing, I'm consciously doing in conformity with every dharma. So my doing is an offering to Bhagavan. Whatever comes as a result of my karma is Bhagavan's prasada. This attitude makes your life offered to Bhagavan. Then Arjuna, no doubt siddhim avapsisi, you will attain absolute success in terms of moksha. Then Bhagavan's next, athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madyogamashritah. Athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madyogamashritah sarva karma phalatyagam tatah kuruyatatmavan. Athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madyogamashritah sarva karma phalatyagam tatah kuruyatatmavan. Atha, Krishna says, Atha, Yetad api ashaktaha asi. Yetad api ashaktaha asi. If you are not able to follow this, do this also. What? If you are not able to perform all your duties as an offering to Bhagavan, are not able to think that you are doing your duties for the sake of recognizing Bhagavan, then yetadapi ashaktahasi. Bhagavan gives so many options. Okay, this you can't do this. Okay, follow this. You can't do this. Okay, follow this. He gives different options. Atha yetadapi ashaktaha asi. Madyogam ashritaha. Yetadapi kartum ashaktahasi. you are not able to do even this, Arjuna. Madhyogam ashritaha. Here, madhyogaha means worship. Madhyogam ashritaha. Sarva karma palatyagam kuru yatatmavan. See, yatatmavan is very important discipline here. Yatatmavan means, atma means mind. Yata means, restrained, mastered. Yata atmavan means the one who has mastered mind, one who has self-restraint. One who is endowed with a self-restraint, self-disciplined is called yatatmavan. Again, that is a different thing. Yatatmavan, as the one with self-restraint, as the one having mastery over your mind, Arjuna, sarva karma palatyagam kuru, madhyogam kuru. Now, may you be given to the discipline of worshipping me. Madhyogam ashritaha means being given to the discipline of worshipping me. Madhyogam ashritaha means worshipping is the yoga here. Madhyogam ashritaha. Ashritaha means being given to the discipline of worshipping me. Sarva karma palatyagam kuru. Sarva karma palatyaga means may you give up the results of all actions. Results of giving up results of actions, what does it mean? No, please understand, very important here, don't get confused. Bhagwan does not expect us to give up the results. When he says give up the results of all actions, as the person with self-restraint, self-control, Bhagavan says. So giving up the results of actions means not being attached to the results of actions. Not being attached to the results of actions means converting my actions into a nishkama karma. Nishkama karma means what? Nishkama karma also is karma yoga. Sakama karma is also karma yoga. If your attitude is proper, okay? What is attitude? I'm living this life ultimately for discovering the truth, Bhagavan, which is a choiceless end. I have thoroughly analyzed. There's no choice for me. I have to discover the truth, Bhagavan, in some time or the other, in this mind. But it's a very difficult task, even though Bhagavan is ever available to be discovered. Still, it is difficult for me because of my distraction mental condition. But still, this is my goal. And I'm living this life, whole life, doing so many things ultimately to discover the truth only. Therefore, whatever I do becomes what? Offered to Bhagavan. It is a karma yoga. But here, even if you perform karma, okay, I want this particular result, then you are doing it. So wanting, expecting a particular result, wanting a particular result, and for a given result when doing karma also is a kamya karma. Even a kamya karma becomes a yoga. Kamya karma, any action specifically done for a specific result, a specific end also, a kamya karma is also yoga, a preparatory discipline, if you have Bhagavan as the goal. Now, Bhagavan in this verse, he says, madhyogam ashritaha means, so being given to the discipline of worship, now, Arjuna, renounce all the results of actions with self-restraint. As the one with self-restraint means giving up all results does not mean not expecting result, not enjoying the results. Please make sure. Giving up results does not mean not expecting results, does not mean not enjoying the results. But performing all actions, okay, as nishkama karma. Nishkama karma means what? The whole life of activities becomes offered to Bhagavan, dedicated to the actions performed, which means you're not attached to the results of actions. You want the results, you expect the results, results do will come. At the same time, you are not attached to results. Means you are not dependent on results of actions for your happiness and security. And second thing, when you're doing something, you do not think only of your wellness, you also think of others' wellness. So, even for one's own wellness, you have to do things. Your own wellness. The Bhagavan says now, okay, public life is not possible. Reaching out activities is not possible. Social service activities is not possible. Doesn't matter. Whatever action you do for fulfilling your own needs, even do that as nishkama karma. Means at least see that you do not involve yourself in any of the prohibited actions. You know, not involving oneself in prohibited actions itself is it's first gate thing. Consciously give up all prohibited actions. It means you're consciously living a life of dharma. So when a person performs the activities only for the results, it becomes sakama karma. But when a person performs activities for the results, but actually to prepare the mind for jnanam, it becomes a nishkama karma. What converts the karma into a nishkama karma? If you are doing anything, ultimately you are dependent on only Bhagavan, the truth, for your happiness and security. But you're performing karma for the sake of results to live your life. Then you are not attached to the results of actions. You are not dependent on results of actions for your happiness and security. Then still Bhagavan now, that action becomes offered to Bhagavan, becomes a nishkama karma also. Your focus is on preparing your mind for jnanam. Therefore, it becomes a nishkama karma. So, Krishna says, athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madyogam ashritah sarva karma phalatyagam tatah kuru yatatmavan. So this yatatmavan implies that you must have mastery over your likes and dislikes. Why? Then whatever action you do, definitely you do not do anything which makes you transgress the values. Which means you are using your willpower strongly, that you choose to do the only right action, you choose to avoid the wrong actions, so that you have mastery over your likes and dislikes, which means you have your mastery over the mind. You have self-restraint, you have self-control, which means you don't do anything and everything for the sake of your pleasure. You do only what is right, you do avoid the wrong things. At the same time, whatever right thing you do also, you want the result, you expect the result, but still you are not dependent on the result for your happiness or security. You are dependent on only Bhagavan and vision for your security and happiness, but you still doing it. This becomes what? Nishkama karma. This you can do, Arjuna, definitely. Bhagavan says, Atha you can do this karma, this at least you can do, he says. Then the next verse he says, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnanadhyanam visishyate. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnanadhyanam visishyate. From this verse onwards, very important, serious verses. Of course, all other verses are important, but here it is. How Bhagavan gives so many options. How to be in association with Bhagavan, thereby finally discover the inseparability, oneself being inseparable from Bhagavan. He gives so many options. And the 12th verse he says, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnanadhyanam visishyate dhyanat karma phalatyagaha tyagachantiranantaram. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasad jnanadhyanam visishyate dhyanat karma phalatyagaha tyagachantiranantaram. So, jnanam, first he says, Shreyaha hi jnanam. The he is indeed. Shreyo hi jnanam means indeed. Jnanam Shreyaha. Knowledge is the exalted. Knowledge is superior. Shreyaha. Knowledge is the best. Knowledge is superior. Knowledge is exalted. Jnanam hi Shreyaha. சிறந்தது, ஞானமே சிறந்தது. ஞானம் ஹி ஸ்ரேயஹா. சோ ஸ்ரேயோ ஹி ஞானம் அபியாசாத். அபியாசா பகவான் சேஸ் ஹியர், வித்தவுட் சி ஃபைனலி வாட் இஸ் த பெஸ்ட் இஃப் யூ ஆஸ்க், டிஸ்கவரிங் பகவான்ஸ் ஸ்வரூபம், அப்டைனிங் அஸ் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப், தி நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் த ரியாலிட்டி is the exalted form of devotion. Knowledge is the exalted form of devotion. That's the culmination of devotion. No doubt, Arjuna. He says, Bhagavan wants to make it very clear. Knowledge indeed is superior. But abhyasat, no, is superior to what? Superior to even meditation. Suppose you are given to the discipline of practicing meditation upon Bhagavan without having understood Bhagavan Swarupam, and then the meditation is good or not? Not bad, but still knowledge is superior to the discipline of meditation. We'll see the elaborate later on. Let me tell you, introduce you first. Let me introduce the verse first. This is a very important verse. So I will elaborate every word later on. Now let us see the word meaning clearly first. So abhyasaha here means the dhyanam. Abhyasat means than abhyasa. Knowledge is greater. Or knowledge is superior to the discipline of meditation. Abhyasat than meditation, or to the meditation. Knowledge is superior to meditation. Then, because meditation is only a mental activity. Many people talk very highly of meditation, meditation, meditation. Shastram says what? Knowledge is superior to meditation. Abhyasat jnanam shreyaha. He says, jnanat dhyanam visishyate. Jnanat dhyanam visishyate. Dhyanam means meditation. Meditation with the understanding of Bhagavan. Okay? Meditating, knowing what Bhagavan is, what Bhagavan is essentially, how Bhagavan is essentially the very true, very reality, obtained from pure knowledge. And that only truth, Bhagavan, truth alone is the name of the whole cosmos. the understanding of Bhagavan's essential nature and Bhagavan's Rupam. What is Bhagavan's Rupam? Bhagavan's whole cosmos is all that is here is. All the forms are the forms of the formless reality Bhagavan. All the forms are, the whole cosmos is the form of the formless reality, the truth which is Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is essentially formless reality. With this understanding, if a person is given to the discipline of meditation, that meditation is called a dhyanam in this verse. Okay? Dhyanam, the abhyasaha is meditation without any understanding of Bhagavan. But dhyanam is a meditation with an understanding of Bhagavan. So Krishna says here, this dhyanam is superior. This meditation upon Bhagavan with understanding of Bhagavan is superior to jnanat. Jnanat dhyanam visishyate. Why? Jnana means, if you know what Bhagavan is, okay, Bhagavan is the form of the whole cosmos. Bhagavan is essentially the reality. You know this. Mere knowledge is not enough. You must be able to dwell upon that knowledge. You must be able to meditate upon Bhagavan based on understanding of Bhagavan. Therefore he says, simply knowing, understanding the fact, okay, all that is there is Bhagavan. Being exposed to Shastra teaching, it becomes very easy. For many people who repeatedly listen to the Shastram, you will have the understanding. All that is, there is only Bhagavan. Bhagavan is essentially the consciousness, or reality which is of the nature of knowing. Bhagavan is in the name of existence of everything. You have this jnanam. But what do? You have the jnanam, like how you have the knowledge of any physics, chemistry, mathematics, you have the knowledge of Bhagavan also. How? Being exposed to the Shastram. Repeatedly being exposed to Shastram, listen to the Shastram, understanding happens. What is Bhagavan? You can say easily, oh, Bhagavan is not one, any given form, the whole cosmos is appearance of Bhagavan, Bhagavan's Rupam. Everything is Bhagavan here. Bhagavan is not anything here. And what is Bhagavan? Essentially, Bhagavan is formless, abstract reality, which alone is in the form of existence of everything, which is all the nature of pure knowledge. This knowledge of what Bhagavan is essentially, what Bhagavan is. You have understanding of Bhagavan. But still, you do not pay attention to that. You do not dwell upon that Bhagavan's Swarupam. Means that mere knowledge of Bhagavan, is inferior. Inferior to what? Meditating upon that understanding. So having understanding of Bhagavan is jnanam, but dwelling upon the understanding, upon Bhagavan and understanding is what? Meditation. So meditation with understanding of Bhagavan is superior to mere understanding of Bhagavan. Is it clear now? Something nice. See, this knowing Bhagavan is superior to meditating upon Bhagavan without understanding Bhagavan. Now he says, meditating upon Bhagavan with understanding is superior to simply knowing, having understanding of Bhagavan. Is it clear? Yeah. So, jnanat, dhyanam jnanat visishyate. Jnanat dhyanam visishyate. So meditating upon Bhagavan with understanding of Bhagavan is superior to simply having an understanding of Bhagavan. So understanding Bhagavan is better than superior to simply meditating upon Bhagavan without understanding Bhagavan. That's the content of the first line. And second line he says, Dhyanat karma phala tyagaha Dhyanat karma phalatyagaha. See, Bhagavan is really pushes karma yoga to very high level. He says, Dhyanat karma phalatyagaha. Karma phalatyagaha, giving up the results of actions. So renunciation of results of actions is superior to even meditation. I mean, meditating upon Bhagavan, understanding why? Because in renunciation of results means you take everything which comes in life as prasada. Everything which comes in life as prasada, prasada. At the same time, whatever is the benefit prasadam, you are not at all dependent on result of action for your happiness or security. You are very clear. This is called not being attached to the results of actions, not being dependent on results of actions, is renouncing the results of actions. So people mistake. Renouncing means not accepting results, not expecting results. No. Renunciation of results means not being dependent on results for happiness and security. And that is superior even to dhyanam, he says. Only to highlight the importance of karma yoga, he says. Dhyanat karma palatyagaha, he says. Why? Tyagat shantihi anantaram. Tyagat, because why? Because he says shantihi, the peace is there only after renunciation. Tyagat. After renunciation. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Tyagat shantihi. Only in renouncing the results of actions. I mean, accepting the results of with the sameness of mind as prasada, without being dependent on results for one's happiness and security, is what? Renunciation of results, which is that when there is peace. See, the mind will be absolutely anxious, anxiety-free mind. Anxiety-free mind is a peaceful mind. What is going to be the result is an anxiety. For a karma yogi, there's no anxiety. 100% you are sure, I have done what I have to done to the best of my ability in conformity with dharma as an offering to Bhagavan. I have done my best. Then, whatever comes is what? Definitely something is going to come because law of karma cannot fail. A karma yogi is 100% sure of the results. But there's already preparedness. Whatever is going to be the result, what is in store is going to come. The present karma is nimittam. The result is only determined by my previous punya papa. So whatever is coming in conformity with the previous punya papa, having a present karma as the nimittam is definitely ordained by Bhagavan in the name of law and order. Water comes is prasada. And second thing, any karma palam, however great it is going to come. It is time bound. It's going to come and go. Therefore, water comes is prasada. And already I am prepared to accept any result with sameness of mind. At the same time, my happiness is not in this karma palam. My permanent happiness is not in karma phalam. So though the person is not dependent on karma phalam, result of action for happiness and security. He only is waiting for Bhagavan's rupam to become revealed for happiness and security. Therefore, always there is peace. The anxiety is resolved. The anxiety, the turbulence caused by the expectation, with the anxiety about what's going to be there, how it's going to be there, dependence upon result, etc., contributes for anxiety and mental turbulence. And for a person of this attitude, absolutely mind is relaxed. Because in doing, there's a focus. In receiving, there's a focus. There's a Bhagavan is focus. Even though there's no meditation, there's no specific thing, understanding is such, this the attitude retains this person in peace. So, tyagat shantihi, Tyagat Shantihi. You want to be peaceful when you're doing things, and always see that you have this. Tyagat Shantihi. Anantaram. Tyagat Anantaram means because of this, after renunciation of this results. You know what renunciation means now. Not expecting the results, but not being dependent on results. Then there is peace. So Shreyaha hi jnanam abhyasat, abhyasat jnanam, abhyasat jnanam visishyate Shreyaha. Dhyanat jnanam, jnanat dhyanam visishyate. Meditation with understanding is superior to knowledge. Knowledge is superior to meditation without understanding. And dhyana, even meditation with understanding, what better than that is what superior is the karma phala tyaga. Why? Because karma phala tyaga results brings what? Peace, relatively. Now, hereafter, Bhagavan is going to teach us some beautiful disciplines also. How, suppose if you see a jnani, jnani bhaktaha, and what are his natural traits? We can understand here. Advesta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Advesta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukhakshami. Advesta sarva bhutanam maitrah karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukhakshami. So here Bhagavan says, Adveshta. See, Dveshaha means hatred. But Adveshta, Deshtru Rukaranta Shabdaha, it means the one who hates. The person who has hatred is called Dveshta. Dveshaha yasya asti saha Dveshta. The one who has hatred is Dveshta. Adveshta means the person who is free from the problem of hatred. Now the hatredness is one of the symptoms of our mental illness. Any hatred, strong hatred towards anybody in the world, anything in the world. Some people, I don't like this. Simple dislike, some hatred, bitterness is a symptom of mental illness. So Adveshta means the person who is free from such bitterness, hatredness. Is non-hater, is Adveshta. So, the person who is Adveshta of all beings, Sarva Bhutanam Adveshta. See, you want to have bhakti, this bhakti nam. If there's a bhakti means, this is bhakti. The exalted form of devotion must be expressed in the form of non-hatredness towards anything in the world. If there's no hatredness at all towards any being, anything in the world, then that is an expression of your devotion. Sarva bhutanam adveshta. There's no tinge of hatredness towards any being, anybody in the world. Means adveshta, sarva bhutanam adveshta. Being a non-hater of any of the beings in the world. Then maitraha. Maitri means friendship. Mitram means friend. Maitraha means a friendly person, being friendly. The one who is, one who has the nature of being friendly is called Maitraha. Mitram is a friend. Maitri, friendship. But Maitraha, the one who is like the friend, one who is friendly, one who is of the nature of being friendly, is Maitraha. One who is Swabhava, a friendly person. So being friendly is what Maitraha. Then Karunaha Yeva Cha. See, Karunyam means compassion. Karunaha is a person of compassion. Person of Karunyam is called Karunaha. The person of Maitri is Maitraha. So friendly person, the person of compassion, compassionate person, Karunaha. If you are friendly, that's expression of bhakti. If you have compassion, expression of bhakti. If you have no hatred at all towards anything, hatred towards anybody in the world, anything in the world, you are this bhakti. Nirmamaha. I'll unfold this next class. Nirmamaha. See, mama means my. It's a possessive case of the asmat shabda. Okay, this mama is a possessive case form of asmat shabda, which means my or mine. And nirmamaha means mamakaraha nirgataha yasmat saha nirmamaha. The one from whom sense of possession has gone for good. Okay, is called nirmamaha. Means the one who is free from the sense of possession, or one who is free from the notion of my sense of, one who is free from the sense of the mind, sense of possession. One who is free from sense of possession, one who is free from possessiveness, one who is free from the notion that this belongs to me, this is mine, that is not mine. It's called mamaha. Mamaha, mamakaraha. But nirmamaha means one who is free from this sense of mine, a notion that is mine. Nirahankaraha. See, nirahankaraha means the one who is free from the wrong notion one has about oneself. Having any wrong notion about oneself, based on the wrong perception of the self, because of ignorance, is called ahankaraha. What is ahankaraha? The wrong notion a person entertains about oneself, born of wrong perception of the self, caused by ignorance, is called ahankaraha. And this person is free from ahankaraha, is no more, there's no more error in the perception of the self. He does not entertain any more wrong notion about the self. Such a person is free from ahankara, nirahankaraha. Then, samadukha sukaha. Samadukha sukaha. The person remains, one who remains the same, samaha. Samam sukhe sukha dukkayoho samam yaha tishtati saha samadukha sukaha. One who remains the same in sukham and dukkham, in pain and pleasure, in comfort and discomfort, in desirable, undesirable situations. One who remains the same, equanimous in desirable, undesirable, pleasant, unpleasant, comfortable, uncomfortable situations. So one who remains the same in comfort and discomfort is samadukha sukaha. Means in when situation, when things are, everything is comfortable, he is elated. When things are not comfortable, he feels dejected. Such oscillation is not there, he remains the same. Samadukha sukaha. Then One more, kshami. All adjectives, every word in this verse is an adjective. Kshami. Kshama means forgiveness. Kshama means forgiveness. Kshami means one who forgives. The person, the forgiving person, is also kshami, and one who forbears, tolerates, the forbearing person, forbearing, forgiving person is kshami. So all, every word is adjective here. Sarva bhutanam adveshta, the non-hater of all beings, not only human beings, all beings in the world. The person who is highly friendly, who is highly compassionate, karunaha, who is absolutely free from the sense of possession, my sense, nirmamaha, nirahankaraha, the one who is free from the wrong notion about the self, one who does not entertain wrong notions about the self, samadukha sukaha, the one who remains the same in all situations, sukham and dukkham, comfort and discomfort, and kshami, one who is of the, one who is highly forgiving and forbearing. Kshami. It's all adjectives. Which means we have to see other words also to get the complete meaning. So, here onwards, Bhagavan Krishna presents a completely a new understanding of bhakti. If a person lives a life of karma yoga, if a person is given to strictly the worship of Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan, person meditating upon Bhagavan, then if a person is given to the discipline of listening, Shravanam, Manam, Nidhyasam, etc., then naturally, if a person is given to the discipline of living a life of karma yoga, then your person is also given to the discipline of worshipping Bhagavan as Vishwarupa Bhagavan, or if he is given to the discipline of worshipping Bhagavan in a given form as Ishta Bhagavad Dhyanam, your person has done, as it is said in the Shastram, or if a person is given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga, thereby if a person has the understanding of what Bhagavan is essentially. Okay, it's gradually. Then, following all this discipline systematically should culminate in the attainment of vision of Bhagavan Swarupam. Therefore, if a person has the clear vision, is a jnani bhaktaha, the exalted of all devotees. And such a jnani, if you ask how he will be in the world, this is what Bhagashastram describes. A jnani bhaktaha is the one who is sarva bhutanam adveshta, maitraha, karunaha, nirmamaha, nirahankaraha, sukadukha, samadukha sukaha, kshami. See, it is possible, who is the person who can have these qualities? If you say, the person who is absolutely free can be like this. The person who is absolutely free alone A free, liberated person alone can be a non-hater of anybody, anything in the world. An absolutely free person alone can be absolutely totally friendly. An absolutely free person alone can be highly compassionate, totally compassionate, can become an embodiment of compassion. See, everybody, he alone can be free from my sense and I sense. Ahankara, makara, he can be free from. He alone can remain absolutely the same without any disturbance in all situations. Whatever situation, he can remain completely, absolutely peaceful, undisturbed, perturbed. Okay. So when a person is trying to live like this, he's called Karma Yogi. When a person effortlessly, he is like this, he's called a Jnani. Shastam says only a person who is absolutely free from limitations, who has discovered the freedom, he alone can be like this, who has discovered freedom as one's own nature, can be a person of this caliber, a person of this stature. Why? Because only when a person discovers one being free means a person who is free alone can be of the person of this caliber means the person who is free is the person who is free from emotional dependence. See, only you are emotionally dependent, independent, it is possible for you to be, you know, to be non-hater of emotionally independent person alone can be a non-hater of all beings. Emotionally independent person alone can be a friendly person. Emotionally independent person alone can remain the same in all situations. Emotionally independent person alone can be free from mamakara, my sense and I sense, ahankara. It's all, everybody, anybody can be a person of this caliber, this qualities, provided the person is emotionally free from dependence. If a person is independent emotionally, it is the freedom from emotional dependence. Freedom from emotional dependence converts a person to be a person of this qualities. When you are dependent, in dependence, there's a possibility of being hateful. In dependence, a possibility of being unfriendly. In dependence, there's a possibility of being highly, having a sense of possession, having a sense of, you know, even ahankara. And it is in the possibility of not being able to remain the same in all situations, in comfort and discomfort, if there's dependence. It is the emotional dependence for one's happiness and security upon things in the world which makes a person a hateful, unfriendly, you know, the person of possession, the person having sense of possession, highly egoistic, you know, and not being able to remain the same in all situations. All this is because of emotional dependence. The person who is free from emotional dependence can be absolutely a person who is described in this verse. And emotional dependence, one can be free from emotional dependence only when a person has discovered happiness and security as one's own nature by discovering Bhagavan Swarupam obtaining as one's own nature. Ultimately, the ascertained vision of Bhagavan's Swarupam obtaining as one's own Swarupam alone will free a person from emotional dependence upon anything in the world, that one will become independent of the world for one's happiness and security, claiming happiness and security as one's own swarupam, for which jnanam, nirguna brahma jnanam is very important. It is knowledge, ascertained knowledge. It is not understanding of the knowledge, it is the ascertained knowledge of one's understanding, where a person does not see oneself being different from Bhagavan. In such a mind, such a person can be of these qualities described in this verse. So we'll come back and see in the next class. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.